We've now walked a few tens of metres from the mound in front of the pond. We've walked next to the pond with it on your left-hand side. And we've come across to a farm track at the base of Badon Loyn. The stone wall or the dike is about a third of the way up. We don't have to climb that far. And what you're looking at below the dike and above is a close-cropped grassland, because the sheep have been at this for several centuries. Sticking out through the grass, there are large rocks. And these rocks, of course, have come down from Badon Loyn. And what they create in front of you is a scree slope or a talus slope. A slope which underneath the grass contains nothing but these large boulders. Many of the boulders that came down from Badon Loyn came down soon after the glaciers left this part of Glen Shee and retreated towards the ski lift. Because accompanying deglaciation was still an intensely cold period. We're used to thinking that glaciers and ice sheets retreat as the temperature warms up. This is what's happening now in Greenland and perhaps in Antarctica. But the ice sheet that was over Glen Shee 20,000 years ago began to melt when the climate was still cold. Cold enough for rocks to be shattered by frost. And as they were shattered, they broke and fell down the hill and created a scree slope. So the glacier in this valley and all over the Scottish Highlands retreated despite the temperature still being glacial. We think these glaciers retreated because they were starved of snow. We think during deglaciation that the climate shifted. Not the temperature, but mostly the precipitation, the snow coming across. For glaciers to advance, they have to have snow falling on them at the tops. It's the snow being converted to ice that actually pushes the ice down valley. When you stop that snow forming, the glacier is starved of any impetus to move, and it falls apart, and it retreats. This is what happened at the end of the last glaciation here in Glen Shee and all over the Highlands. So we're now on this farm track beneath what we now see as a talus or scree slope, and we can walk along this track turning to your right to head down valley. And as we do that, you'll start to see on your right-hand side some more areas of wetland. There's one within a metre or so of me here. Doesn't look terribly wet, and it's just full of sedges. But this is another kettle hole. We have a whole bunch of kettle holes to our right, much smaller than the pond that we saw, because the ice that's left behind to form these kettle holes is of different shapes and sizes, and they melt at different rates too. But effectively, they're all melting together. And in between these kettle holes, these small depressions lined with sedges, there are mounds of gravel, although we can't see the gravel up here. We caught a glimpse of it as we climbed up. And in between these mounds, there are flat, terrace-like features, areas where the gravel is more level than it is mounded. These things are called Kame terraces. They're formed not by the glacier, but by what happened immediately after the glacier. As a glacier retreats, meltwater gushes out of the front, the snout of the glacier. And that meltwater, certainly in the summer, has a huge discharge, a huge amount of water coming out of it. And in the summer, these rivers are perfectly capable of picking up any of the boulders that you can see around here and transporting them downstream. So these flat surfaces are formed by meltwater immediately after local deglaciation. At the time, they would have formed right the way across the valley. So I'm now looking at the Ben Gullapin Hostel to your right. And these things would have stretched at this level right the way across to the valley on the other side. They're now isolated, fragmented by the work that the river has done in post-glacial times.